Good morning. Good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing today? Good? Yeah. It's good to see you today. As Tina said, we got our pre-stir celebration. Most of it's going to happen after next service, but you can still get a donut today and have some fun. Enjoy the sunshine. But it's good to be with you, and let's pray. We'll get the message today. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. And Lord, as we look at the scripture, I pray you would help us to be people of greater love. Help us to see, Lord, that in our pursuit of you, becoming people who reflect your love is what you want from us, what you want for us. So I pray you'd help us to do that. I pray it could be real in our lives, and I pray you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to continue looking through the book of 1 Corinthians today. And today I'm going to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, which is, when I read it, if you will recognize it. It is one of the most famous passages in all the scripture, and it's all about love. So we're going to dig into that. But as I was thinking about this, several years ago, we had a National Guard weekend, and we went to the ranges, and the Guard, you do that every year, so everyone can get qualified on their weapon systems. But as a chaplain, you're actually a non-combatant, so you don't have a weapon, you're not allowed to use one under the Geneva Convention, all that kind of thing. So the only weapons that I have are Jack Johnson right here, you know what I'm saying? And whatever this one's called. Now, very dangerous weapons, nonetheless. But so I just kind of hang out, on those weekends and just go around and watch people. And we were on this one range, and there's this big 50 caliber machine gun. It's called an M2. It's big, and the range is huge. The targets are like the furthest one's like 1,500 meters away. So really, really far. It's even kind of hard to see. And so I was on that range. I was watching them, and they're like, "Hey, Chaplain, do you wanna shoot this thing?" I was like, "Well, you don't have to ask me twice. That looks super fun." So I did, and they were like, showing me how to do it. And they're like, "All right, the way that this thing works is you just pretty much just start shooting, and then you aim as you're shooting. You kind of walk it onto the target." And I was like, "This thing is made for me. That's how I live my life. Fire, ready, aim. I'll decide if it's a good idea after I'm committed to it." So I was like, "This, I'm a kindred spirit with this thing." And so they kind of, were helping me and walking me through it. And it was a whole lot of fun. But that idea of kind of walking on the target has always stuck with me. Because in life, number one, it's really helpful to know what you're aiming for, isn't it? I mean, in anything, just kind of that sometimes is half the battle. Like, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? What is the goal ahead of me? Knowing that helps a lot. But then number two, it helps to know whether you're moving closer to that or further away from it. To have a real sense of either I'm getting closer or I'm getting further. And what I love about 1 Corinthians 13 is the Apostle Paul really gives us this clear target for our lives as far as a Christ. Is that this is what you should be aiming for. This is the target. This is the goal. And not only that, as we read these verses, I think they'll also give each of us a real clear picture of where am I moving closer and where am I moving away from it. And we'll have a better sense of that. So we're going to read through this here. I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. It's not that long, but it's so beautiful and powerful and rich. And here's how it goes. 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Now he's going to describe love. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. They're powerful words, aren't they? They're compelling. And the first thing that Paul is showing us in these verses is the absolute necessity of love. Now, if you've been with us as we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, Paul's responding to a lot of problems that the church is facing. And he's helping them navigate and think through these problems. And in this particular chapter, what Paul is helping them to see is to see what real spiritual maturity looks like. Paul's saying, look, at the end of the day, if you're in a relationship with God, here's what should be happening in you, is that you should become a person who is loving people like God has loved you. In other words, that's the target that all this is meant to create in our lives. Now, here was the problem. The Corinthians were kind of defining their maturity and growth in a different way. Some of them were saying, hey, Paul, we're really knowledgeable. We know a lot of stuff. We have this great spiritual insight and wisdom. And Paul's like, that's great, but here's the deal. Sometimes knowledge can make you really arrogant and condescending. And the goal of knowledge is not to become arrogant and condescending, but the goal of knowing about God and learning about God is so you can better love the people that God has placed in your lives. And many times in our pursuit of God, sometimes we can fall into that same trap. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was so hungry to learn and grow. And so I was trying to read and study and learn. And I was learning and I was growing and I was understanding things. But it also kind of was, like Paul said, it was kind of puffing me up. And you can know a lot of stuff, but if it doesn't make you reflect God's love more, it's not real growth. It's not real maturity. You with me on this? Knowing the Bible is not nearly as important as practicing the Bible. Knowing all these things, it's meant to translate into our lives. You with me? And the Corinthians were struggling to do it. Here's the other thing. They also kind of said, well, hey, Paul, we've got these great gifts, and we've got these great ways that God is working through us and using our life. And if you read the chapter before, it's all about the spiritual gifts and how they build up the body of Christ. And Paul says, yes, gifts are great, but if you do all these great things for God without love behind it, it's empty. There's a hollowness to it, and you're missing the real target. They also kind of fell into some just weird practices that seemed really spiritual. Now, I don't know what it is about Christianity sometimes, but sometimes there's this idea that the weirder you are, the more spiritual you are. I don't know if you've ever seen this or experienced it. Like, the weirder it is, that equals deeper spirituality. Like, years ago, we had a speaker at our church. He's a great guy. And I picked him up from the airport. His name was Calvin Miller. And you know, the church was like, hey, take him out to dinner. It's getting in late. So I was like, hey, you know, where do you want to go to dinner? I was like, hey, we got TGIFs. You know what I'm saying? We got Applebee's. You just pick, brother. And we'll pick up the tab. You know, I was really, back in the day, TGIF Fridays, that's where it was at, guys, all right? I know y'all don't respect it today, but it was something then. And so he's like, no, I don't want to go to any of those. I just kind of want to get like something really quick. He's like, can we just go to Wendy's? And I was like, yeah, dude, we can, but I just feel like this is going to circle back in a bad way for me, you know? which it did. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But he's like, yeah, let's go to Wendy's. And I was like, you sure? Like, we can go anywhere. Like, no, I want to go to Wendy's. So I took him to Wendy's, and we got, you know, our chicken nuggets and Frosties, whatever we got there. And then he's like, hey, let's pray. And this is like Wendy's at 9 o'clock. There's two people in there. He reaches his hands over and grabs my hands at Wendy's. 9 o'clock in the, you know. And I'm like, can't we just pray silently? Like, do we have to make a whole scene here? And quite honestly, we can pray over these chicken nuggets. It ain't gonna become Chick-fil-A no matter what, you know? Like, so listen, dude. God is good and powerful, but let's just be real here. And so, you know, so we prayed, and I was just like, man, that was a lot, you know? I love God too, but we don't have to be this weird. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes there's a weirdness that, you know, we kind of think is spiritual. Now, ever since that moment, I've just decided, like, if you're going to try and be spiritually weird, I'm going to be weirder, you know? You grab my hands, I'm interlocking. I'm making this as uncomfortable as possible. So, just fair warning, guys, all right? You want to play that game with me, I'm going for it. And the point of all this, actually is the point, the point of all this is that they were defining what a mature spirituality looks like in all these wrong ways. And Paul says, no, here's how you know that you're maturing. Here's how you know that you're going to the target, that you're reflecting a certain kind of love through your life. I love this quote by Gordon Fee. He's a great Bible commentator. He says this, in short, they have a spirituality that has religious trappings, but have rather generally abandoned truly Christian ethics and with its supremacy of love. So they had all this religious stuff, but they miss a point. And church, I'm telling you, we can be like the Corinthians. We can have all this religious trappings, but church, what I want to just challenge us today and put before us is we cannot miss the point. The point is love, which manifests itself in terms of concern for others that they may be built up in Christ. So here's what Paul's saying to us today. He said, hey, here's what the goal is. Here's what the goal of learning and serving and growing and knowing God is. It's so this love can extend from God, but through you and to the people around you. And then Paul goes and he defines for us what he means by this love. And it's really, really powerful. See, when we talk about the idea of love, there's probably a lot of different ideas and thoughts that come into our mind. But when Paul talks about love, he's not just talking about a feeling. He's not talking about, you know, that butterflies in your stomach. He's talking about this outward commitment to serve and do good for the people around us. Love, in this sense, it's an action. It's not just a feeling. And over the years, I've you know, talked with couples in tough spots, and they'll, you know, kind of say, they're like, we've fallen out of love. I'm like, okay, like, explain what you mean a little bit, and they'll kind of tell me, like, I just don't, this person really annoys me now, you know, it's really frustrated, it's just hard, you know. I know many of you have never been there, married people. I know it's, you know, I know you don't know what I'm talking about here, but, you know, I said, all right, you know, and I'll try and dig into it a little bit. I'm like, yeah, you've fallen out of love, but tell me about how you fell into love. How did you fall into love? Just tell me a little bit about that, and they'll tell me a little bit about their story. You know, we met here, and we talked all the time. You know, we would just talk on the phone or in person, and we'd talk about all kinds of things, and there was this great communication. I'd be like, okay, so slow down. So you would have conversation with each other. You would talk, and you would, you know, talk freely and openly and share your hearts. Yeah, we'd do that. And we would go on dates. And many times I'd say, you know, we didn't have much money, but we would be creative. And we would find a way to do it. And we would, you know, go to the park or do this or that. And I was like, so you would create intentional time to be together. And you would disrupt other parts of your schedule to focus and to build your relationship. Yeah, we would do that. I was like, well, I think that sometimes what falling in love really means is it means that we've created a series of actions that built this sense of falling in love. And when we fall out of love, it's because those actions we've stopped doing. We've stopped, you know, and I'll be like, and when was the last time you went on a date? And they're like, 1987. It was great. We went to Friendly's. Remember that place? All these restaurants are now in my mind. Remember the upside down cone? Anybody? Anyway. But my point, church, is that we tend to think about love as a feeling. We think about it as sort of a feeling that you're not really in control of. You know, it just sort of overtakes you or it doesn't. But what I want to show you today is that in the scripture, love is a commitment. Love is an action. Love is it's just saying, I am going to do good. I'm going to serve this person. I'm going to bless them whether I feel like it or not. Can I tell you today, God doesn't love you based on how he feels that morning. And God doesn't love us based on what we do for him or to him. God's love is built on who he is and on the decision that he makes to love you. And so love is something deeper than this. Now, Paul says that, he says in this verse, he says two positive things that love is, and then seven things that love is not. So two things love is, and seven things love is not. Now, here's what the two things are. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Now, when I thought about that, I thought, well, patience is, it's more of the passive side of love. And isn't that an interesting word to use? But yet, I think it's so insightful. Because here's the truth. To love people well, it requires a lot of patience. Let me say it in a more plain way. Love means putting up with each other. That's what, and just say, I'm not going anywhere. When your friends annoy you, you put up with them. When your spouse annoys you, you put up with them. When your kids annoy you, you put up with them for the sake of their good. Say, look, yeah, you're driving me crazy today, but I'm not going anywhere. You with me? That's a real picture of love. My daughter Abby, she's turning 3 soon, and she started doing this new thing. If like Allie will ask her to do something she clearly doesn't want to do, you know, like eat her food, go take a nap, go to bed, whatever. And then if I jump in and I say, yes, Abby, do what mom told you, or eat that like mom said, she'll look at me, she'll go, I'm not talking to you. Yeah. It's triggering. It's true. And like, she just, I can tell, man, like her face gets, you know, her brow lowers. I'm not talking to you. And in my heart, this is what I want to say. I don't say it, but this, I want to say, listen, girl, have you read the Bible? Oh, no, you haven't, because you can't read. But here's what it says. It says, honor thy father, which means when I say jump, you say how high. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that, though. That's what I wanted to say. And when the first time she said that, Allie laughed. I didn't think it was that funny, though, you know? But then the next day, she did it to Allie, and I laughed, you know? So it felt good. I don't know if that was loving, but it felt good. But you know, love. But here's what. There's a lot of things I'm learning these days. But I think that I realize, like, I'm not as patient as I think I am. You know, you ever find that true about yourself? I'm like, how am I this easily triggered sometimes? But love is patience, and many times, church, many times, what our family needs, what our friends need, what our coworkers, what our teammates need is sometimes our patience. And can you just think about your own life? How hard is it to grow? Like in a real way, in your character, in your soul. It takes time, doesn't it? I mean, how many of us, you've been fighting battles and you're fighting them and you're making progress, but it's been a journey. And you're working at it. And if people are in your life are willing to write you off really quickly, it's going to be hard to have meaningful relationships. Amen? It takes time to grow. We need people's patience, and we need to give patience out. You with me on this? Love is patient. Here's the second thing. Love is kind. Now, this is the active side of love. Love is and kindness here is really a practical word in a sense. Love is willing to go and to serve, to do something real, something actionable for the other person. Love wants to bless. Love wants to make a difference. And love can be expressed in big ways and small ways, right? Sometimes just an encouraging text can mean a lot, can't it? Sometimes just kind of doing a little more than your share, maybe. Sometimes just covering for a friend or helping someone out. Those are all expressions of this idea. I'm trying to use what I have, my gifts, my abilities, my times, my resources, to be a blessing. So love is two things. It's patient and it's kind. It's willing to put up and it's willing to go out of its way to do good to the other person. Then Paul goes through this list of what love is not. Let me share it with you. Love number one, it does not envy. I don't know if you've ever struggled with envy before. I don't know if you've ever looked and you're like, they don't deserve that. I don't know if you've ever kind of just seen someone's success or ability or whatever, and it made you insecure, or someone, you know, succeeded in a way you hoped to, and you're like, I know I should be happy for them, but I'm not. You know, I'm kind of annoyed. That's all envy. And love says doesn't do those things. Love can celebrate other people. Love is not threatened by good things happening to others. Love does not boast. It's not proud. It's not about drawing attention to itself. It's not arrogant. Now, I would say there is a little exception to these qualities. And the exception is when you're playing pickleball. Amen? Pickleball players, can I get in this regard, I think that the Lord is fine with boasting. He's fine with being just, I'm just kidding. But love's not arrogant. Number four, it's not rude. Simple kindness honors God. You know, it's not rude. It's not short and curse with people. Love doesn't insist on its own way. Is it our way or the highway? Or is it our way or we throw a tantrum? Love doesn't do that. It doesn't insist on a way. It's not irritable. Whether it's hungry or not, it fights the urge to be irritable. And seven, that's right. I'm not calling anybody out here. Love's not resentful. It doesn't hold on. Church, how easy is it to hold on when people hurt us? How easy is just to never let it go? How easy is it to maybe allow someone's worst moment to be how we define them forever? You wouldn't want that. We've all had bad days, amen? I don't want you to define me by my worst day. Why is it okay for me to do that to someone else? You with me? Love doesn't do that. And so here's what my experience with thinking through these is. I read that list of seven, and every one that I was reading, I was like, okay, I hope that I'm going to do better on the next one, you know? Because like, okay, love's not this. I'm like, I am that. You know, love's not that. I'm that too. And by, like, I was hoping through there, I would find one of the seven that I was okay at. But I didn't find that one. Hopefully the list looks better for you. But here's what I know, and here's what it made me think. There's a lot of room to grow in our ability to love people. I heard one a pastor I admire a lot, his name's Bob Russell, and he said that he was calling his wife and having a conversation. And this was back in the day. Some of you will remember these things called answering machines. Anybody? And they would record stuff. And accidentally, his phone conversation got recorded on the answering machine with his wife. And so when he got home from work, he thought he had a message. He played it, and he heard the conversation. And he listened to how he talked to his wife, and he was like, I'm a jerk. Like, this is not okay for, you know, he didn't realize the way and the tone that he was, and he was like, I wouldn't talk to anybody else like this. And unfortunately, sometimes the people that we're closest to, we can give the least amount of love to. Isn't that a strange thing? But it happens, doesn't it? And it was kind of one of these wake-up moments for him. And he's like, I need to do better. And he worked on that. And today, maybe as some of us think about love, and I don't want you to sit and stew on all the ways maybe you feel like you failed in this. I don't want you to sit and stew on all the missed opportunities or the hurt relationships. Here's what I want you to really focus on today is how can you do better? Look, there's God's grace and forgiveness for the past, and let me tell you, we all need it. But here's the good news. We don't have to stay where we're at. That's the beauty of God's work and God's call in our lives. We can move forward, and that's what I want you to think about today. Don't think about all the missed opportunities. Think about the opportunity you might have today. Think about the opportunity you have this week. Think about one baby step you can take to grow in this and put your energy there. You with me on this? And God will help you and God will meet you. And then the last thing Paul says in these verses is that love is permanent. He says everything else doesn't last. It's not going to, but at the end of the day, love, the love that we allow to flow through our lives has an eternal impact. Now, this is a really, really powerful idea. Because here's what it shows us. That your life and my life can be filled with eternal purpose every day as we strive to love more like God loves us. That we all want purpose here. I don't think any of us are like, yeah, you know, what I'm really praying for is a life with very little purpose. Like, no, none of us want that. We want a life that's meaningful. We want a life that is impactful. And here's what Paul has shown us. This is the way to it. In other words, it doesn't matter what you do vocationally. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. You know, when I was younger, I would kind of like stress about trying to get all the decisions right in my life. Should I go to this college or that college? You know, should I do this career or that career or whatever? And, you know, stressing it out. And I kind of thought that my life's purpose was this fragile thing that if you didn't just get it just right, you'd miss it. But I think what Paul is showing us is our purpose is actually really a big thing. And that what you do doesn't nearly matter as much as the love that you allow to flow through you in what you do. That wherever we work, whatever we do, whatever period of life we're in, if we strive for Christ's love to flow through our lives, that has eternal significance. Our life has eternal, lasting meaning. And what a cool thing. What a cool thing. You don't have to be anything different than you are today to make an eternal impact. We can do it through trying to love people like God calls us to. A few years ago, I was in this counseling training class. It was like getting training on learning how to counsel people. And we had to watch this video of this person being counseled for like hours on end. It was really painful. It was so painful that I hated my life by the time it was done. It was rough. And we were watching it, And the methodology that they were trying to teach us is what's called solution-focused counseling. Now, there's a lot of different methodologies of counseling, but what is unique about solution focus is it says, okay, I know we all got lots of problems, but we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on whatever is working right in your life. And then you build on that. That's kind of the whole idea. It's just, one way of doing it. And so they were trying to teach us how to do that. We were watching this video, and, this guy had just a really bad time. And, after we watched it, they were like, did you hear that one bright spot? And I was like, nope, didn't hear it. No bright spots here. Only dark clouds, And they're like, the instructor was all excited about it. But I like that idea, because in life, there are always a million things wrong that you can focus on, but usually that doesn't really get you moving forward. I find it that there's a lot of wisdom in that. What is right that can be built on? You can find a million reasons you're not happy with your life, right? But can you find what you do like about your life? You put your energy towards that, I think it gets you on a better path, amen? And when we think about loving people, here's what I want you to see today. When you and I think about loving people, there's a million reasons not to extend that love. And in the relationships in our life, there's always going to be a lot of reasons that says, you know what, this person doesn't deserve it. Or you know what, last time you tried, it didn't go well. Or there's going to be a million reasons not to love people the way God calls us to. Those are easy to find. But here's what I want you to know today. There's one reason why you should. And there's one thing to put your focus on in those moments when loving people is difficult. And here's what you look at. Here's what you focus on in those moments. You focus on how Jesus Christ has loved you. That's it. And you stop looking at the person, and you stop looking at what's going on in you, and you just, you put your focus on Christ. Because as you think about how Christ has loved you, it gives you a new, powerful ability to love other people. You looked at Christ, he doesn't love us because we didn't get it right. We're celebrating this week Christ going to the cross. Why'd he go to the cross? Because we get it wrong. Because we need forgiven. And he goes in our place. And he rises again for us to reconcile us to God. Christ doesn't love us because of the greatness of who we are. He loves us because of the greatness of who he is. Christ's love, it's not up and down based on your performance. It's faithful. It's patient. And it's kind. It's come to serve you and me. It's forgiving, it's gracious, it's merciful. It's all those things that God calls us to give each other. And here's the way to be a more loving person, is to think about that. It's to focus on that. Those times when someone in your life is driving you crazy, you just take a step back. You think, I wonder if I drive God crazy. Yeah, just ask yourself that. And you say, but you know what, he still loves me. He's still for me. When someone wrongs you and it hurts, you think about how you've wronged God, as we all have. And you think about Christ going and forgiving you for it. And then you say, you know what? Not only should I forgive that person, I need to. I have to. When you think about that person in your mind, and you just think about the parts of their personality or their life that you don't like, and you're tempted to just paint this terrible picture of them in your minds. I want you to think about how God sees you, and that he doesn't see you based on your sins, but he looks at you through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. And then I want you to look at that person and give them the benefit of the doubt. You with me on this? When you look to Christ, it changes everything. When we look at how Christ loves us, it gives us the power to love other people. So here's my challenge to you today. I want you to think about in your life, where is there a relationship where love is a little bit absent or cold? Where is a relationship in your life that there's just an absence of love? Maybe at a time there was, maybe it's a friendship, and you've just, things happened, you've drifted apart, just not at a good spot. Maybe it's marriage, it's been some hard times and haven't responded the best. Maybe it's at work, wherever it is, I want you to think about it, and I want you to just invite God to show it to you. Say, Lord, where is that relationship that you want me to focus on? And then I want you to commit to just doing something loving in that. And again, pray, ask God about it. Maybe it's just someone you've cut off, just opening the channels of communication again. Saying, hey, I'm just thinking about you. Maybe it's going out on a date, couples. Hey, man, you don't have to enjoy it. Just go do it. It'll be good for you. You got to start somewhere. Whatever it is, church, but it's got to be an action. It's got to be something you're trying to do to bring a blessing. Now, here's how you'll know that you're probably on the right path. Because you'll have this sense in your soul where you're like, Lord, I will love any person, just don't ask me to do it for them. Yeah, that's how you know. You're like, all right, Lord, any other calling's good. I'm down for it. But this one's really tough. When you feel that tension in your soul, you're probably on the right one. You with me on this? Because that's probably the one that really has an absence of love. And that's probably the one God's really calling you and me to step into and to bring something different. Now, here's what I know. Paul says, love endures all things. There is no force more powerful than God's love. And there is no force more powerful than God's love through you. You bring it to bear, and you will see God do something special. Let's pray. Father, help us in this. Lord, in each of our lives, you have people that you want us to love and serve. Lord, in the brokenness of life and in the brokenness of our own souls, we struggle to do that. And Lord, we just say we're sorry because we know that even though we struggle, you call us to do it nonetheless, that it matters to you. And Lord, I thank you for loving each of us first. God, could you just remind us of that today? Lord, you don't love us because we got our act together. While we were your enemies, Christ died for us. And we thank you for that. In this is the love of God, not that we loved him, but that you loved us first, Lord. It all begins with you. And Lord, your love is kind, it's gracious, it's powerful, it's transforming. Pray we could be filled with it today. And Lord, I pray that we would be filled for the purpose of pouring it out. Father, there's people around us that you want to give it to. And I pray we'd be your partners in it. Help us, Lord. This isn't easy. And we can't do it without you. But Lord, we ask for your help. We pray we would glorify you. We pray we could be part of your solution. That, Lord, people would know that we're your followers by how we love one another. Not by just what we say we believe, not by our habits on Sundays, but by how we love one another. That would be pronounced and profound in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.